Hello, listeners. This is Glenn Willis, the Editor-in-Chief for ITO America. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Surendra Reddy, the former Vice President of Cloud Computing at Yahoo. Surendra has a truly impressive work history, having been in the business for over 20 years and has leadership positions within Oracle, Optina, and also Mitrix. He regularly contributes articles to cloudbook.com and runs a very popular blog amongst IT executives at cloudrants.com. Thanks for joining me today, Surendra.
Nice meeting you, Glenn. How are you?
Yeah, very well indeed. Thank you. So you've spent a significant number of years in the areas of cloud computing. I'd like to start off asking you a question just in terms of the areas within your blog. And I know cloudrants.com is a heavily visited blog with IT executives within the kind of major enterprise space and entrepreneurs that are working within cloud based computing from here within the Americas and even on a global scale. You make a claim within that blog: if companies fail to deconstruct their IT infrastructure and embrace cloud, somebody will do so and make them irrelevant. Can you explain the reasoning behind your statement there?
Okay, so before that, let me just step back and give you my thought process on the cloud computing. You know, when I came up with that conclusion, it's based on some assumptions I made and also my experiences dealing with IT infrastructure and management at large. So my thinking on the cloud computing is it's basically the radical approach in thinking at designing the systems or architectures, but extending the computing resources and processes outside the enterprise. So what is happening today in enterprises is just basically stacks and stacks of servers purchased and installed in the data center with utilization less than 11 to 12%. If you look at the cost of running these data centers, it's basically 60 to 70% of their operational cost goes for just the power, cooling, and operational expenses. So what I'm trying to explain here in that blog is if these organizations don't really radically look at their cost structures and optimize these structures to deliver more value and efficiencies through their services, it's going to be completely unviable for them to deliver these software services in the future. So they need to realize that now and move and take off these expenses off from their books and move it to the offline, or basically they can use the cloud to really optimize these expenses. There's an exploding number of choices there and also growing complexity just they're managed inside the data centers. In my view, that's all not required. It's because they've done this last 10 years or 15 years. It's all been there. But now cloud gives them an opportunity for them to go back and deconstruct their IT infrastructures, take up all the context services, move them into the cloud first. That gives them a good leg up to reduce some of their costs. In the second phase, they can go with some of the core applications. And the final phase, they can move their mission-critical or strategic applications in the cloud once the security is there. That gives them, you know, the ability to compete more optimally with their competition. Otherwise, that makes them irrelevant because their cost structure doesn't support them to deliver optimal services.
Well, thank you, Surendra. And just from your perspective, I'd like to kind of hear your thoughts. Like, there is probably hundreds of different conceptions of cloud-based computing. Why do you think there's been such a cloud that's been based over marketing hype of this? Do you believe that it's marketing hype from the vendor community that has created kind of confusion of exactly what cloud computing is, or do you think there just needs to be a clear set of standards that will kind of set the tone in this space?
I think the answer is yes, there's a lot of hype from the marketing perspective, like any other emerging technologies. But it's, you know, my view and experience of the cloud computing is quite happening for the, you know, last 10 years. There's a lot of technologies evolved. Like internet is the first catalyst in that process. The Web 2.0 is the second catalyst in that process. And then first iteration of the software as a service the last 10 years has proven to be in a more, you know, acceptable value proposition to the enterprises. Then came the outsourcing model, you know, taking business processes and giving it to the outsourcing companies to do the business process optimization kind of things. All these experiments led to the, you know, the final incarnation of running your business services into, you know, more strategic, rather than you owning and operating these things. Let's centralize all these things, let somebody provide you services. Like, we all depend on our communication infrastructure today by telecom operators. They do provide more reliable, more economical services for us. The same thing cloud computing is going to offer for enterprises. That's a true value proposition. Yes, there's a lot of hype doing everything in the cloud. Yes, there are some fundamental issues that need to be addressed. Without addressing them, cloud is going to follow the same path of earlier hype cycles. So there is a caution need to be taken, both from the vendors as well as the customer's point of view, to strategically think what applications they can move first into the cloud and what technology gaps they need to address from the vendor's perspective. If this tool is done correctly, there is enormous opportunities for the cloud to take off and provide real good value proposition for the enterprises. Equally, there's equal opportunities for the vendors too.
Just explain one term to me as well, cloudonomics. Well, for our audience online as well, what can you explain the term of cloudonomics to us, please?
Yeah, cloudonomics is the word coined by VP of Strategy and Business Development, AT&T. It's a Joe Wienman, and he runs his own blog called www.cloudonomics.com. So it's very interesting. He basically came up with 10 principles. It's basically 10 laws of cloud, you know, how that enables enterprises to take advantages and scalability benefits offered by the cloud. I think, you know, there's a lot of interesting reading on his blog, but I quickly go through those cloudonomic laws in the context of what I wrote in the Cloud Ranch blog. So for enterprises, what is more important is, you know, the economies of scale. How can I really get the scale I need to optimally run my business services in the cloud? So this one of the laws described by Joe precisely does that. And if you want to run your own operations, it costs more for you because your fixed cost is basically distributed to your business units. If you take that and distribute in the cloud, the fixed costs are distributed over, you know, the very large units of operation. That gives you very low cost proposition for your services. That gives, you know, you can basically buy the services much cheaper in the cloud as opposed to doing by your own. So that's very interesting value proposition for me from the point of view of enterprise applications. The second law that states, you know, today every business is just going close to, I call it quasi-real-time business applications. If I want to meet the demands of real-time or quasi-real-time, I really need to scale up my infrastructure resources by 3 times, 4 times, or 5 times sometimes. That's not going to be financially viable for any enterprise to deal with that. By taking the cloudonomics law, I think it's law number 7, and basically enterprises can really leverage the scale provided by the cloud to really get the close to real-time enterprise. So those are the two laws that really, you know, interest to me, and also availability and reliability at a very fractional cost. There's no way enterprises can really achieve the scalability requirements. I can give an example going back to my Yahoo days. So the Michael Jackson hitch is a good example. How can really Yahoo can scale out so quickly in 3 or 4 seconds time to really meet up the demand unless they have statically provisioned those resources. Resources sit there waiting for the traffic to come. That's not going to be financially viable. Whereas cloud gives you that kind of a cloud bursting model, should be able to leverage the resources available in the cloud seamlessly by bursting into cloud. Yeah, the other laws are, you know, very equally important. You know, they can go and read on the cloudonomics.com blog.
Tell me about, because obviously people have seen cloud computing to bring operational effectiveness, cost savings to their businesses, and obviously we've been in some pretty tight economic times in over the recent last 18, 24 months. Do you believe that the downturn has in fact accelerated the need of the desire of businesses to actually adopt cloud?
I think the answer is yes, definitely. That's one of the major drivers. And then a hardware refresh cycle is another thing added to that. You know, both maybe came at the same time. The companies who is dealing with all this, you know, old equipment and old infrastructure, it's time to refresh them. And the economic downturn came. Now, that basically sent the shockwaves to the C-suite, and people can now think whether I really need to invest in this, you know, the IT infrastructure by myself, or I can take advantage of existing technologies or emerging technologies like cloud, or do I outsource it? So actually that put the companies in the kind of a strategic thinking point to really evaluate, do I need to invest by myself, or can I do a better job of leveraging any emerging technologies or going with my outsourcing service providers where I can reduce my cost structure or, you know, cost drivers in that. Yes, definitely the economic downturn is one of the driving factors. And cloud is definitely an opportunistic technology sitting on a corner waiting for these guys to, you know, utilize that.
Fantastic. And let's look at, because I know there's a level of apprehension, and some of our listeners that will be on this session here today with us, Surendra, some of them are coming from major businesses, data that they hold, whether it be maybe a healthcare client, which can be hugely sensitive data, whether it could be a financial services player holding, you know, customer bank account details, social security numbers. I know a number of our CIOs and our community have held a level of apprehension when it comes to cloud computing. And then further so, there's obviously been a number of set kind of market trends where we've seen cloud not totally live up to the expectations, particularly within when we look at something maybe like from a breach from Google's web-based Gmail. Do you think breaches in a powerhouse such as kind of Google, who promote cloud and have based their business effectively on cloud computing, do you think that will, you know, lead to the a lesser apprehension or, you know, a predictive sort of cautious between CIOs that should be working with cloud?
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked to a number of people last 3-4 weeks on, you know, the Google breach and its impact on the perceptions on the cloud and its adoption. Yes, it is really concerning to many people about the security aspects of, you know, the data ownership and process ownership in the cloud. But again, you know, maybe we are not comparing apples with apples. You know, comparing Google breach is basically related to the email breach, or their networks basically more on the, you know, kind of a public cloud where with the SLAs and security is equally important, but, you know, not mission critical kind of thing. You know, people can really live with whatever they get for not paying for any premium for the services they get from that. When it comes to the offering the mission critical or strategic business applications, and there is extra caution need to be taken by CIOs to make sure that the proper data governance, process governance, and security standards and visibility mechanisms established, and make sure vendors really adhere to those things, providing the complete visibility to the data governance council to make sure, you know, you don't really get into those kind of compromises. And also another issue is, you know, for the consumer-based applications like Google Mail and things like, the user base is so significant, you know, so large, it's very difficult for them to provide complete visibility in the context of, you know, who made the breach and what caused the impact of it. When it comes to the enterprises, you know, it's pretty much, you know, they need that visibility completely. You know, their user base is more important. If my social security number is compromised, you know, my service provider need to tell me exactly what made that compromise and where all that got impacted. You know, I need that information. That only can be achieved by defining proper mechanisms, both from the service providers and also from the customers. So CIOs definitely should play a very cautious role to make sure the vendors disclose all their governance mechanisms to their service to their users.
And tell me, Surendra, from your expertise and what you have seen happening in the market, which industries do you believe will be the most affected, either positively or negatively, by the adoption of cloud computing?
It's a very interesting thought process. Going back to, you know, I started my job in working with Burroughs Computers. You know, if you recall them, there's big iron boxes sitting there, right? My first project was to get rid of the Burroughs and just move it to the DEC racks cluster-based computing systems. That first transformation happened. Companies refused to change that model, the business model. It's no longer in the business. The same thing is happening to this computing landscape. 5 to 10 years from now, the computing landscape is going to completely change. The enterprises may not be the first guys to buy these server boxes from the hardware manufacturers. They need to change their business model, the delivery mechanism, to deliver their computing servers to the service providers instead, right, not to the enterprise. You know, maybe the percentage of enterprises that will buy this big equipment will reduce dramatically. So I think the hardware guys will be the first one. They need to really reinvent their business model to come up with new strategies to keep up their revenue growth in line with the growing trends. If they don't respond to that, the history will repeat, right? Somebody will take their business model and innovate around it. Similarly, the software licensing model is going to go through dramatic change. Companies just betting their revenue model just on the licenses and maintenance revenues need to transform their business model. Unless they do that, again, they're going to really get impacted significantly by this emerging trend. They need to innovate on the new business model. How do they deliver, more value to their customers? Customers don't mind paying premium as long as they get the peace of mind to run their business in the cloud. In fact, these vendors, by innovating their business model, can make more than what they're doing to current maintenance model. Because, you can sell at volume. There's a lot of customers, small to medium scale business, can adopt cloud very easily. Make the adoption of these business services is much easier for them, makes more compelling value to come back and use your service again and again. That gives more revenue generation path. And I see another wave coming in. All the telecom operators with all the huge capacity sitting on sidelines, cloud provides another opportunity for them. Suddenly, those guys will become a competing threat to the existing software and hardware vendors to really compete with them in other dimensions. So there's multiple factors at work. I think definitely from 5 to 10 years, the whole landscape is going to dramatically change, and more innovation will happen on offering more value-added services rather than just, delivering this hardware bits and gears to the customers directly.
No, you make some very valid points there. And what can we look forward to in seeing the new venture that you're actually pursuing right now?
Yeah, I'm still in the kind of a stealth mode, and I can share you more in maybe in the next month or two. My primary focus in the addressing the business process innovations in the cloud, especially targeting towards the supply chain industry. And also healthcare is another huge opportunity I see. Their business processes are stuck in a kind of a old style. They are automating inefficient processes for a long time. With the introduction of a new healthcare bill by Obama, that's the ARA, that's basically enforcing some sort of EHR compliance by 2015, that basically puts all these healthcare providers to really automate and optimize their supply chain processes, how they really do their billing, how do they provide the information to their customers. Cloud definitely provides enormous opportunities for them, whether in the context of a private cloud or a more secure vault for them to, create and retain and distribute the information to their customers. Customers in the sense their patients and the service providers and the insurance companies, so on and so forth. I see this kind of business process innovation would help them to reduce their cost structure significantly and take advantage of the cloud to at least, benefit from some cost savings and also comply with the government regulations. These are two areas I'm researching into, but still I haven't finalized my plans where I'm going to focus my energies on. So I will let you know maybe in the next couple of months.
Well, definitely, and we'll definitely stay tuned with your blog on cloudrants.com to get any further updates. But it all sounds exciting times. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just speaking to Surendra Reddy, the former Vice President of Cloud Computing at Yahoo. Surendra, thanks very much for your participation today. It's very much appreciated.
My pleasure talking to you, Glenn.
Ladies and gentlemen, this interview was part of ITO America's Thought Leadership Series, an ongoing project that features one-on-one interviews with innovative thought leaders from major top companies in North America, as well as leading entrepreneurs. To download today's podcast and any further podcasts for ITO America, please log on to www.itoamerica.com. Thanks for joining us.